You don't get them girls loose, loose.
TJR.
You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The best fans in the NFL need their gear. Shop the best selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop with new arrivals each week. Visit the store at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or go to shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Notorious, maybe I'm more of a perspective guy than we originally thought.
You've come around to my way of seeing the world. I love it.
I do like being a pom-pom guy, though. I can't wait till next August. Are you kidding me? It's going to be.
He'll come off the practice field, watch Jordan Cameron catch like 6 touchdown passes. Man, he is going to the Hall of Fame. Let's just drive him down there now.
He's going to have a better chance than Joe Flacco.
Well, I'm not going to give you any more of that. Actually, I think your words tanked his season. You did something, because I think he heard you and he got discouraged.
I think he said, oh, my God, this guy's telling the truth.
Right, Gerard?
He said this guy's telling the truth over here. Everybody else is going nuts.
It's been all downhill since Nathan.
Yeah, since Nathan has made the claim that Joe Flacco is not one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL, he has been suspect. I will agree with that, Vic and Nathan. At the same time, maybe it's just that malaise, and I'm using that word a lot. I want to let you know.
It's a good word, especially when it's preceded by general.
I like a little malaise on my turkey sandwich.
I heard that. I'm trying to get back
malaise
to that.
Sauce.
Do they still have those turkey sandwiches at the facility?
They do, and many other types.
Oh, my God.
Did the tuna wrap today. Big guy here did. What'd you do? You had
a little bit of brisket.
He did brisket. It was very good. Yeah. It was an excellent lunch. We miss you over here. You were here briefly last week, but we got to get you back into our lunch club.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, don't take this the wrong way, but just for the food, I'm going to try to sneak over there for
you. I know. And it's not to be here with us. I don't blame you. Hey, Gerard, a couple of things I'd like to get some reaction to. One, Jason Campbell was in studio, and just the demeanor alone, just the way he handles himself in talking about himself, this team, where it's going, really gives you a sense that there's a presence about this guy that I think is kind of bigger than maybe what else he does as a performer. I know it's all about how he plays,
right,
but I think how he also handles himself, especially with regard to the question of, hey, looking at the opportunities that were taken or that you weren't given, that they went with Brian Hoyer first, the frustration. I mean, I know he's saying it's called saying the right thing, but I think it's also how he said it, the way he presented it, that's encouraging. I think that's the type of thing this offense needs from a stability standpoint.
Yeah, because he is stable. He is firm in who he is, and he didn't go outside the lines and say something inflammatory. And that's pretty much what we've been looking for, someone be the rah-rah type of a guy. And I got to give him his praise and say, I'm impressed by the fact that you stuck to your true self, didn't throw Brandon Weeden on the bus, didn't throw the coaching staff on the bus, didn't throw Brian Hoyer on the bus, accepted it for what it was worth. I perceived that as weakness, and I was wrong for perceiving it that way. It's a calm, and you do need a calm in a storm, and this fits what the Browns need at this stage of the game, and you saw. He weathered what went through it on the first half and played better in the second half. It didn't lead ultimately to a victory, but he did do one thing, and that was put this team in a position where they could have won the football game.
And the calmness about him, I thought, was very, very powerful. Just being in the room with him, such a solid leader, and something certainly that is clearly good for this Cleveland Browns team. And he talked a little bit about, you know, getting to work with Norv Turner and how that's an honor to work with him. He talked about Josh Gordon. And one of the things that I thought was very interesting that we haven't really gotten into in too much detail was, he said the difference, basically, at least this is what I took from it, between Brandon Marshall and Josh Gordon right now has nothing to do with ability. It has to do with being in the film room and Brandon Marshall's understanding of what defenses were trying to do to him. As a defensive back, when you played against a receiver who not only had physical talent, but also knew what you were trying to do and was that much of a student of the game, is that the recipe for ultimate domination in this league?
Yeah, that is the recipe for ultimate domination and ultimate success, because if I have a move that I'm going to counter against, and you watch that on film, and you have the mental repetitions taking place, and you know what to expect, and you're already thinking a step ahead, and you know where you're going, you're going to make that play. And you should make that play, because you paid the price outside of being on a football field in the classroom to make the play. So, yes, that's how you get to that next level. And that's what it comes down to. And what Jason's alluding to and what I spoke about with Hooley yesterday at length on our show is, with Josh Gordon, does he have the desire to be great? He's good, but does he have a desire to be great? And if you start doing things like watching film and not relying solely on your ability to run faster than and jump higher than other guys, that's how you get to that Uber level. That's how you become great. That's how you start sizing yourself up for that gold vest that they have down in Canton.
Mm. Gerard Cherry joining us as he regularly does here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We also heard from Brian Baldinger, and he was on the call, the national radio call for Sunday's game. One of the things that he saw in this Browns team, and I found very interesting, was that he pointed out, in his opinion, T.J. Ward playing the best among the defensive players he saw on film, and he saw in that game, we saw T.J. get the sack from the safety position. How well do you think T.J., and for that matter, Tashaun Gibson, are playing at safety?
They're doing much better. Early on, it was an issue because of T.J., I believe, being out, that the communication was lacking in a rhythm and a rapport between the two, but that's picked up. And here's the thing, when you see T.J. making plays in the backfield, that's what this defense requires. You want him to be Troy Polamalu. You want him to be the guy that is doing the unscripted things in this defense to where you can't account for it. And once T.J. starts doing those things, and then Ray Horton's prediction is right on course, because this defense requires a safety that's playing out of his mind and making all types of plays. And if T.J. is starting to now get that sense and feel for this defense will get better. And by Thanksgiving, you'll be saying to yourself, wow, this could be a lights out defense. So if TJ is the key to that, he's the cog. He has to make that happen because he's put in a perfect position to make plays and to get paid.
Yes, which is, as you've said many times, not an unimportant motivating factor for these players. Speaking of motivating factors, I think one of the things that we've noticed clearly was the effort level seemed to be so much greater with Jason Campbell on the field. Talk about that from a player's standpoint, and what does that mean? And is that even really okay?
It's not okay. Let's get that out the way right at the bat.
Yep.
It's not okay that because one quarterback is in and you can identify that you're – level of intensity and your effort goes up with another guy's in because you already assume that you've lost. You defeated when you walked on the football field with Brandon Weeden, and it showed that. We discussed that as well. And that's not okay. That's never okay, because say Brandon Weeden has to come back on the football field. Say you have another quarterback that you don't believe in. You are a professional. And I know it's hard, and we're human, but you have to get beyond that. And especially as a team, to take that next step to be good, you have to have the mentality that it doesn't matter who's out there. I'm going to do my part to lift my teammate up. So that showed me there are some cracks in the foundation of the mental fortitude of this football team because of the ability to become weak-minded when a guy like Brandon Wheaton was in there. And then once Jason Campbell turned it up, then they responded in likeness. So that is a problem because you have to look, but you can't go with your circumstance. You have to overcome that, especially in this game.
So during our After Further Review segment, Dave DiNatale posed the fact or fiction question about whether or not the Browns could win five of their remaining eight games. We concluded basically that it's a fiction, that we don't see the five. We pushed to four, and we're probably stretching that. But nonetheless, how encouraged are you by what you saw Sunday based on how you will view these remaining eight games?
I'm going to differ from you guys. I can see this team winning five games if Jason Campbell plays competent football and gets the time and guys do their job and step up and this defense gets better and this pass rush remains aggressive and is a leader in sacks during the course of a game. I see five games because I look at the schedule. I see the Jets. I see the Patriots. I see the Ravens. I see the Bengals again. I see the Steelers. Outside of the Bengals, who you've played already and did a pretty good job against by winning the football game, where's the prolific offense that you named that they're facing? So really it's a matter of if the defense does its part, offense just plays halfway good. Now special teams, that's going to be a big question mark now with Benjamin out, but I do see a situation where you could still win five games.
Let me ask you another question because I've been
excited. Man, that put you guys silence, huh?
It was silence, but no, I just want to talk about this for a second because it's a situation of conflict for me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to see the Browns win five of their next games and be an 8-8 team and perhaps, you know, hurt their draft status for next year? Or do you say you always want to do the best you can every single year?
You always want to do the best you can every single year. You don't want the Browns to be a 3-13 team, Nathan. And the reason why you don't want them to be a 3-13 team is the following. When you are a 3-13 team, you bring that young guy in here and you say, yeah, we're going to turn it around. And a lot of people like to use the Indianapolis Colts as their example of turning around. That really wasn't a turnaround, in my opinion. You're 1 year removed from the playoffs, and you were lacking a competent quarterback to a good quarterback to a great quarterback. You got that, and things immediately turned around. In the situation with the Browns, if you continue this losing culture that you've had since your return, all you're going to do is continue that, and it does not happen by losing games. So people want to get into this mystic notion of, wow, if we lose games and we get a better draft pick, that's going to save us. There's no guy out there in that draft that is going to save this football team. It has to be a collective effort, and that collective effort starts in 2013 when you already established what it feels like to win, what is required to win, and you want to win. So if you bring in the mentality of, well, let's tank it, why not tank it the following year? Because you know what? Physically, your body goes through something playing the football season, and it doesn't want to put itself through the exertion that it has to put itself through. So take that mentality of losing, and you'll go right back to it. When things get tough, when a new quarterback comes in and he's not playing well, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to play as hard of a level for him, too, because you have a losing mentality. And that all starts with the idea of we should lose because we want to have a better draft slotting.
Well, such a great point. And players, by the way, you know this. I'll say what you know better than us. Players don't buy into a theory of you lose to give your team a better pick so somebody can come in and take their job. That is
exactly
not how players think at all. But I'm aboard with the idea that a losing record and the worst case scenario, which you point out would be 3-13, would be horrendous,
horrific.
as a horrific culture, so to speak,
yes,
to try to sell that as, well, at least it got him a high pick. Yeah, but you carry the burden of that record and the ugliness of it all and the continued lack of success, and it just breeds the worst kind of thing. All right.
I just want to say real quickly, given everything that we've been told and we've heard about this quarterback class now, that it's not, there aren't five superstars, you want to change the culture. You want to say we are a winning team, that if we can add another piece that can develop and grow and trust these guys to pick the right piece, that we're going to be a playoff team immediately next year. And I think with a successful second half of the season, the Browns can set themselves up for that. So I'm on board with you guys. Conflicted no longer.
Hey, some tweets coming up. Dave DiNatale, our outstanding producer. Thank you, Gerard, by the way. And Julian Gerard coming up next after our show. So you want to stay tuned for that.
CBD.
And, yes, CBD. And then you'll hear from you. We'll hear from you tweeting us at Browns_Daily. Dave will be reading those tweets. Talk to you in a little bit.